I was looking for more sugyas that could be interpreted and embellished in the light of this chakira between the Chovas Gavra and the Chovas Cheftza. We spoke at great length about tzitzis, if you remember, whether it's a Chovas Gavra to wear the beged, whether it's a Chovas Talis vis-a-vis the beged, and even if I hold Chovas Gavra, the Rav's Chiddush, that it's a Chovas Cheftza as well. We spoke yesterday about Meiser, that even when it's Kama, it's still growing in the fields. There's already a Chiv Meiser and a Ptur of Hefker. But that's only as far as the Gavra is concerned. The Chiv Cheftza and the shame Tevel, as far as Meiser, is only Chal later on after it becomes Tolush, after Katsira. And I found another few sugyas that I wanted to share with you, that I wanted to study with you. We had mentioned way back when mitzvah abav avera, and the Rav Zichron of Racha always assumed that mitzvah abav avera was in the cheftza. That the psul gozel, for example, in a case of lulav gozel, is chal in the chayfetz. The lulav becomes a different lulav. There's a, so to speak, a transformation of personality, becomes a lulav gozel. That's possible for a cheftza shel mitzvah. However, I found that the Brisker Rav, the Rav's uncle, had a whole different approach, and I thought that was fascinating. He has a piece here in Chelik Hay of the stencil. Chelik Hay of the stencil is kind of a potpourri of all different sugyas, all different simonim that were put together in this one volume. And he has in Number Tes Vav, on page 186, a section called Lulav B'Migdash Kol Shiva. And we know that there's a mitzvah begvulin on the first day of Yontif, ulekachem lachem, and then there's a mitzvah in Migdash to take the lulav called Shiva, usmachtem lefnei Hashem alkechem shivas yom. And in this particular piece, he speaks about the fact that in the case of gozul, there might be a difference between the two mitzvahs, between the mitzvah in Gvulin and the mitzvah in Migdash. And in order to evolve this chiddush, he starts with the question of a sukkah gzula. Now, when we speak about a sukkah gzula, there are one of two possibilities. Either it means he stole the schach, or perhaps he stole the defanos. And the question is, would there be a psul of sukkah gzula if he didn't steal the schach but only stole the defanos? So based on a diuk in the Rambam in Perek Vav Milchas Sukkah Halacha Tes Vav, the Rambam seems to assume that atzei hasukkah, which means the defanos of the sukkah, have a status of sukkah no less than the schach itself. For example, we know we have a halach of muktzah, that you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of something that's dedicated to a mitzvah while it's fulfilling its purpose, and if I can't take the schach and use it for my benefit. And the Rambam extends that to include the atzei hasukkah, meaning the defanos as well. The Rosh...
Didn't Rav Chaim say something like that?
Yeah, so that was the Rav Chaim, beautiful John mentions in Sefer, and Rav Chaim wanted to say that the defanos, as far as the kiyuma mitzvah is concerned, are absolutely necessary. Notice there's no way you can sit under schach without defanos. And therefore, since the kiyuma mitzvah depends upon the defanos, the Rambam holds that the din of muktzah is not dependent upon the cheftza shel mitzvah, which is the schach, but on anything that's necessary and is indispensable for the kiyuma mitzvah. That was Reb Chaim. In any event, with regard to a sukkah gzula, the Brisker Rav is quoted, again, this is just students that transcribe, he says, V'nira lomar, d'had gozel posul, ein zeh mikri psul basukkah atzma, ki imdin b'kiyum ha-mitzvah, d'begozel eino yotzi yedei chovas mitzvah. And he wants to say the following, that even though the Rosh objects to the Rambam, and he says, well, how could you apply the din of Muktzah, these are Muktzah, to the Dfanos? After all, none of the Psulei Sukkah apply to the Dfanos. There are no dinim in the Dfanos. For example, Dovelitz Makabel Tuma is kosher for Dfanos, whereas it's possible for Schach. The Briska Rav wants to be Mechadish that with regard to Gazul, even the Rush would agree that if you stole the Dfanos, the Sukkah would be possible. And why? Says the Briska Rav that the Psul of Gazul of mitzvah baba vera means that you cannot obtain a kiyum mitzvah through an avera. If the avera sets up the mitzvah, then you forfeit the mitzvah. Now, since in sukkah I absolutely need the defanos, then even though there are no other psulim in defanos, gozel will disqualify the sukkah, because gozel, based on the principle of mitzvah baba vera, is not a psul in the cheftza, but rather in the kiyum agavra. And mitzvah baba vera says you cannot obtain a kiyum agavra through an avera. And since these defanos are absolutely indispensable for the kiyum mitzvah, and in this case he stole the defanos, even the rush would agree that this becomes mitzvah baba vera. So again, just to summarize the Chiddush of the Briska Rav, the way it's quoted here, is that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush regarding Tefanos HaSukkah is limited to Muktzah. Because the Rush's opinion is that Muktzah depends upon the Cheftza Shal Mitzvah, and the Cheftza Shal Mitzvah in the case of Sukkah is only the Schach and not the Tefanos. And the proof that the Rush adduces is because we don't have any psulim that apply to the Tefanos as they apply to the Schach. Says the Briska Rav, but the Rush would admit that the psul of mitzvah baba vera in the case of a sukkah gzula would apply if even only the defanos was stolen, because the psul of mitzvah baba vera is not in the cheftza. The cheftza is identical whether it was stolen or not, but you cannot achieve a kima mitzvah through something that's an avera, through something that's stolen. Therefore, since I need, and it's absolutely critical that I have defanos, my kiyum mitzvah is facilitated by the defanos, well, that was achieved through gozel. He doesn't stop here. Now he wants to know, what's the din of gozel in Dalet Minim? And he says the following. He says that in Dalet Minim we have two different mitzvahs. We have one mitzvah which is begvulin, and that's only on the first day. And then we have the mitzvah b'migdash, which is all 7 days. And he says the following, that these two mitzvahs of ulakachtem and usmachtem are two separate mitzvahs. V'amitzvah d'usmachtem have a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. And therefore he wants to say the following, that gozul ein ze posel b'min, ki im dahavi din bifnei atzmo bekiyum mitzvah de begozel lo yotza yidei mitzvah. The chiddush of mitzvah baba vera in the case of a stolen lulav is that you cannot obtain the kiyum mitzvah through a lulav hagozel, because it's the gzeilu that set up the mitzvah, and that's a din in the kiyum mitzvah. Where do we derive this from? From the mitzvah of ulakachtem. So again, as opposed to psul min, this is a psul in the kiyumah mitzvah. So it's not in the cheftza, but rather in the kiyumah gav. The nafkamina is whether we apply that psul to the mitzvah of usmachtem, which is a mitzvah unto itself in Migdash. He says the following. The equation between usmachtem and ulakachtem is only as far as the identity of the dalet minim is concerned. So if you have a min that's possible as far as ulakachtem, then ipso facto it will be excluded as far as usmachtem. So for example, let's say you have a chaser or whatever the case may be, a murkav, whatever it might be, that's going to be possible in migdash as well. Why? Because you don't have the identity of the dalet minim. That's called a psul mechefta. But as far as gozel is concerned, which is not a psul mechefta l'shitaso, it's only in the kiyum mitzvah, then we only know that that psul applies outside of the mikdash, in gvulin, in the mitzvah of ulakachtem. We have no proof to get to join or to jump the you know, jump the gun, so to speak, and cross the bridge and say that even with regard to Usmachtem, which is a mitzvah say atzma, that we could derive that mitzvah from a lekachtem and say that just like in a lekachtem, you're not yotzi with a guzzle, so too you're not yotzi with a lekachtem. I'm sorry, with Usmachtem. So if you get a chance, again, I always like to give you my makovis. I mean, I just gave you the tip of the iceberg here. But what fascinated me is the difference between the uncle and the nephew. The uncle understood that the psul of gozel is not in the cheft at all. It's only negates the kiyum agavra. Whereas the nephew understood that the entire psul of mitzvah baba vera is because the shame gozel is chal in the chefetz. And if you recall, that's how Rav Soloveitchik understood the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says, well, what happens if he carries, let's say it was Shabbos, and the first day was Shabbos, before the Gzeir Rav, he says he carries the lulav from one Rishus to the other, and the Yerushalmi says it's not called Mitzvah Bob Avera, even though he violated Melechus Hotzah. Why? Because Taman over there, Guf and Avera, in the case of Gazul, it's in the Guf. Here, it's Loba Guf. So Rav Soloveitchik understood that the psul of mitzvah baba vera is in the guf, meaning in the cheftz itself, and the shame gozel is chal. That's why Rav Soloveitchik explains those Rishonim who say that once you akone the shinui and shinui rishus and shinui hashem, again you have to know all the din in there in bava kama, then you can be yotzei the mitzvah because poka shame gozel mea cheftza. Whereas if you go with the kiyuma gavra, then it's definitely still true, very much true, that the kiyuma gavra was set up by the gzeil. I have another sugi here, which I thought would be very appropriate for this chakira, and this is in Baba Basra and Perek Cheskes Habatim. So now we're leaving the environs for a moment of mitzvahs, and we're going into dine mamonos. And the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis presents a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel with two nafkaminas as to how you establish a cheskas gimel shonim in order to achieve a chazaka and establish the karka as yours. So according to Rav Shita is called cheskasa gimel shonim miyom liyom. Okay, we'll explain in a minute. And Shmuel Shita is that we need Gimel Gderos or Gimel Betziros or Gimel Mesikos. Okay, what does this all mean? So we're going to work backwards here. We're going to see the Nafkamina, and then we'll shed a light on the Machlokes Shin Rav and Shmuel just on a simple level, and then we'll put it into, if we can, into our categories. My Beinayu, Omar Abaye, Dekel Naira Ika Beinayu. You remember this sugya? Dekel Naira Ika Beinayu. My Beinayu says Rashbam. Bein Rav Ushmuel. Bein Lamar Bein Lamar Gimel Shonim Ve'ino. Nobody denies that you need Gimel Shonim of Chazaka. The Machlokas is in the case of Dekel Naira. Dekel Yalda Ubachura. This is a Dekel that's very robust. It's very young. Debepachos Mi Gimel Shonim Shlemos. It doesn't take 3 full years of working the orchard, whatever malachas you have to do, ukvar teunos gimel pa'amin. You can get the annual produce of 3 years, three annuals, without having to go through 3 years of chazaka, because the tree produces at an accelerated rate. L'shmuel havi chazaka. Why? Because Shmuel holds Gimel Gederos. Now, as long as you get the total produce of 3 years' worth, that's called a Chazaka. Afal gav deleka Gimel Shonim Shlemos, even though you don't have 3 full years. Where Rav holds Be'ina Gimel Shonim Yom Liyom, Gimel Shonim Shlemos. And therefore, even though he was able to, in a sense, collapse or reduce the amount of time that he needed to produce 3 harvests, nevertheless, he didn't have Gimel Shonim Yom Liyom, and that's not called a Chazaka. Then he gives another Nafkamina. What's the second Nafkamina? Just 1 second. Oh. Hameshir Perosov Kodem Gomrom. He says he cut off the fruits before they were fully grown. L'divrei Shmuel, d'yomer b'inon gimel gederos, lo avi chazaka. Gimel gederos means 3 full years of full harvest. This didn't reach its full development. L'divrei Rav, the Omer Be'inon Gimel Shonim, Harehu Machzik Bo Gimel Shonim, V'Avi Chazaka. So again, let's just review. There's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. How do you establish Gimel Shonim of Chazaka? According to Shmuel, you need Gimel Gederes, which means three harvests. According to Rav, you need Gimel Shonim Yom Yom. So we have two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is a case where Shmuel will recognize the Chazak and Rav will not. And the other is Pumfaker, just the other way around. Where would Shmuel recognize the Chazak? He didn't have 3 full years, but he had 3 full produces. 3 full harvests. In a dekel naira. Rav would say that's not enough, because he needs 3 full years. Then we have another nafkamina. The second nafkamina is where Shmuel is the one who's going to object and disqualify the Chazaka, because the Gedera was not fully ripened. He cut it down before it reached its full fruition, its full development. Right? And that's called Liktom Kodem Zmanam. Rav would say that since he worked the land incessantly, you know, without leaving one day out for 3 years, 3 years consecutively, he's got a Chazaka. So I was thinking the following. Could we possibly suggest that the machlokes Rav and Shmuel about Chazaka depends upon Gavra Cheftza? In other words, Shmuel says that the Chazaka is generated by the peros, the produce. Your act of malacha of avoda, whatever you needed to input in order to produce those peros, is only a means to an end. That's a technicality. But if you could produce the same 3 produces, meaning the peros themselves are complete, within a lesser period of time, a shorter period of time, then you clinch your chazaka. Rav, on the other hand, looks at the Maisa Gavra. In other words, as long as you're doing 3 years' work of avoda, and you didn't do anything unusual, you know, you didn't jump out of the 3 years consecutively, which is called Mefuzaren, that's a different sugya here in the Perek, then that's enough. So again, Shmuel puts all the emphasis into the Cheftz of the Pri. If I can generate the Cheftz of the Pri 3 harvests worth, 3 annuals worth, then that's enough to establish Chazak. It doesn't matter how many days I was there. But Rav is looking at emphasizing the Pula Sagavra, the act of tircha, of chazaka, of whatever malachas and avodos are necessary to produce. And if I have 3 years consecutive of avodos, then and only then do I produce the chazaka.
How does this affect orla?
You want to know what would be an orla?
Yeah.
Why? I would say shvius. What do you mean by orla?
No, I'm talking about lugabe, the sada. I mean, if you're saying that the machlokas of when you're Makona the Sada is dependent on these two shitas.
Right.
But what is it?
So I don't, I'm not a bucky in Ilfaz Arla, but I would think that in the case of Arla, if it has a shame pre, then it's also be Arla. So again, the case that we were discussing in Baba Basra is where he didn't let it reach its full fruition.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a full harvest, but it has a shame pri. Then there's the sugi of basa. What if he cuts it down before it reaches the shame pri, which is, I think, called smadar? Right. And there's bosar and the smadar.
Yeah, but they only need 3 full years, or does orla need 3 full years? Miyom liyom.
Right. No, there's no din of miyom liyom by orla. It's only a din on the peros. There, okay. For sure, it's in the cheft of the pri.
Okay.
Now, once we're talking about Zeruim, I think I found another application of this din of Gavro, or the din of Cheftza, in the case of Bikurim. The Gemara establishes in Masechta Machis on Daf Yud Chesom and Beis, which is the address for Bikurim to a large extent in Shas, because we don't have Bavli on Bikurim. The Gemara establishes that within a certain period of time, a well-defined period of time, if you announced, you dedicated these peros as bikurim, then you're chayav in both hava and in kriya. And if, let's say, at some point it becomes impossible for you to fulfill the mitzvah of kriya, which I'll explain in a moment, then yirakvu means you gotta let the fruits rot. And that's based on the principle, which we'll explain in a minute, of kol aroy lebila v'kol aino roy lebila, which means the following. That if you are mafrish these bikurim before Sukkos, before the Chag. At that point, it's royal kriya. Now, if you didn't bring the bikurim to the Mikdash and you haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Hava, and now the time passes and it's after the Chag, again, you have to know exactly where Hanukkah fits into this. Okay, then the Gemara says Eino Kore. It's no longer this mind of Kriya, because Kriya only applies when there's certain fruits in the field. And now that you had Bikurim, that at the time of the Afrasha were Re'uyim LeKriya, then we say Kala Royal Abila, Abila Makevispo. That means since it was Royal Abila, then you need Kriya. And if you don't have the possibility of Kriya because you passed the Chag, then you Rokfu. But listen to the language of the Rambam. When the Rambam codifies this halacha, this is in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel. He says the following: Hamdevi Bikurim Me'achar Chag Asukis. So it's after the Chag, which means there's no longer possibility of Kriya. V'Ada Chanukah. Okay, so the mitzvah of Havah terminates with Chanukah, but you could have Havah from Chag HaSukkos and on until Chanukah, even though there's no Kriya. Says the Rabbah, but I'm skipping deliberately a few words, Mevi V'eino Kore. Mevi V'eino Kore, which means he hasn't forfeited the mitzvah of Kriya. I'm sorry. He hasn't forfeited the mitzvah of Havah. Okay. Even though he has no Kriya. Now let's reverse back to a few words that I skipped. The afal pisha frisham kodem achag. What's the chiddush of the Rambam in frisham kodem achag?
It was
royal decree at that point. So the Rambam is in direct contradiction to the sugya in Makkos. Correct, of royal abila, because the sugya Makkos Yuchesim Ubeis establishes that since he was Mafrishim before the Chag, and it was royal decree, it's kriya makemisbo, and the Rambam says, maybe v'enu kore. So if you look at all the Mefarshim, they quote a Sugin Gittin, and they assume, based on the Sugin Gittin, the Rambam had a stira between two Sugis, and the Rambam preferred the Sugin Gittin over the Sugin Makkos, and that justifies his psak. But I have here a photocopy of a sefer called Beis Yishai, which is authored by Rav Shlomo Fischer's Shlita. Does anybody know who he is? He's one of the great geniuses of our generation. You never heard of him? No. Did you ever hear of Rabbi Yisrael Fischer? He passed away. This is his brother. Yeah. A lot of famous stories about Rabbi Yisrael Fischer. He was the biggest maker on Maris. You know, if you ever had a suffix, you went to him to get a cool. You know, the famous story. He was in the back of a car. So the driver stopped the car. So Rabbi Yisrael Fischer said, "Why did you stop?" He says, "It's a red light." He says, "That's not red." Anyway, so his brother Shlita, that's the Rosh Yeshiva of Itri Yeshiva, where my new son-in-law learns, and he still continues learning, which I'm excited that, you know, they have this rule here in Israel that once you get married, you're out. Go find yourself a kohel. But Baruch Hashem, Itri has a little small kohel and he was accepted. So I love the idea that a guy can get married and still continue to learn by his rebbeim at the age of 22. He doesn't have to leave his rebbeim. Anyway, that's off on the tangent. So in this piece by Rav Shlomo Fischer, he says the following. First, he establishes a principle which is very, very fascinating. He says the following. And he quotes many sugyas in Shas Kedarka Bakodesh. He says, "Kichol chalos ha'adam," and anytime there's a chalos regarding a chiyuv, "v'kol b'zeh chiyuv gavra," he says the following: if the chiyuv gavra generates the chiyuv, and the chiyuv is imposed on the gavra, he says that Hachiyuv hazev achalos al gavra kodemes lechalos shem Torah hachefta. In other words, for example, he gives the example: a person says Hareini nazir, so he's already mechuyav as a chovas gavra to observe the laws of nazirus, right? But at some later stage, depending upon different conditions and variations that have to be fulfilled, he says then the Iser is chal in the chefts of the Yayin, for example, in the case of Nazir. But he says that you can have a chalos gavra that precedes the chalos chefta. So the chiv chefta hasn't yet emerged, but the chiv gavra has emerged. And right here, I would like to write a footnote. Ayin Torah Zeroyim, Siman Yudalid, you know, what we saw yesterday, because again, even if it's Bekama, the chiv Meiser is already chal, and if he's mafkirid, he's potter. And that's only a patur of the gavra, because later on when he's zoche again, he's going to be chayiv in Meiser, because you know, it's only in the gavra. Whereas after it's tolush, only later on when he cuts it off the ground and he harvests it, then the chalushem maisa can be chal nechefta, and therefore the patur of hefker is chal nechefta in such a way that it's irreversible, right? Anyway, so I thought that was very exciting in this thing. But then he goes back to the Rambam and he tries to explain the Rambam based on Yerushalmi, and he writes Ladas HaYerushalmi after analyzing the Yerushalmi. He says, HaKriya Chovas HaBikurim Hi. Kriya is not like Hava. Hava is a Chovas Gavra, and Kriya is a Chovas Cheftz. In other words, when you bring the Bikurim, one of the dinim that apply to the Bikurim themselves is Kriya. So the Kriya is Chal on the Bikurim. And he wants to say that this Halach of Dichu, you know, that it was Roy and then it was no longer Roy, that only applies in the Cheftz. And what happened was, in the Rambam, he was mafresh the Bikurim, right? But the Chiv Cheftza was not Chal yet. So therefore, if the Chiv Cheftza is not Chal, there's no Din of Dichui. It doesn't get bounced off. So in other words, the Chiv Gavra is not enough to engender a Chovas Cheftza. And if there's only a Chiv Gavra and that's all you have, then there's no Din of Dichui. Mashenket Abavli, the Bavli has a different understanding about the nature of Kriya, and Kriya is always a Chovas Gavra V'Alma. And therefore, to make a distinction between whether the Chovas Cheftza emerged or didn't emerge, and at what point in time, is irrelevant according to the Bavli. So that basically, according to Rav Shom Fisher, the reason why the Rambam paskins the way he does, even though it's against the Gemara in Makkos, is because the Gemara in Makkos doesn't have this premise, which Yerushalmi has, that the din of dichui depends upon the chefta, and bikurim becomes a chovas chefta, but only at a later stage. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds like the Bavli. I'm sorry, like the Yerushalmi, and he says, "Maybe bikurim me'achar chagas sukkos varachanuka." He says, in that case, the chovas chefta has not emerged, and therefore it's maybe veinu kore, because the din of dichui that would knock him out of the box is dependent upon the chefta. So in any event, I thought this was very fascinating that you can have two different chiyuvim in Bikurim. One is a chiyuv hava, and that depends upon the gavra, and then there's a chiyuv of kriya, which depends upon the cheft itself.
What the Rambam would say happens after Chanukah if you haven't been made into Chanukah?
So then I think the Rambam would say Yirakvu, because then he doesn't even have a possibility of hava.
Right, the bilah to the mitzvah gavra of hava.
I think so. Anyway, that I thought was fascinating. And again, since we mentioned the Gemara Bava Basra, and we see that the difference between a Cheftz and a Gavra is relevant not only to mitzvahs, but even to Mominus, I want to mention a Chiddush of Rav Shimon Shkaf. This is on the Sugim Bava Metzia about Kinyan Hagbah. And the case is that a person is Magbia Talis, and he wants to be Zoch in the Talis, but someone else is holding on to the Talis, and he can't pick it up. So there's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid about this case, and the Shitas Ravid is that even though someone else is blocking his ability to lift up the talus, so the talus remains lying on the ground, or at least part of the talus is still on the ground, nevertheless he was kona. Says Rav Shimon Shkop, nearly lefarish bekavonis Ravid the sover the hagba havi maisa kinyan. Umoil rakim ha'odom osa maisa hagba v'afilu im lamaisa lo nases hagba batalis in the cheftza me'ezah siba ha'makeves rakim lo hoya ha'ikub mitzad atzmo. Okay, fine. Is therefore he's kone. In other words, whether or not you can be kone if someone else is ma'akiv hagba, depends upon how you define the Maisak Bar as a Kenyan. Is it the Gavro who's being Magbia, and Mitzad the effort and the energy that he put in, he did a Hagbar? Or is it it did in the Talis, that the Talis be Mugbis? And if for whatever reason the Talis is not Mugbis, then as far as the Cheft is concerned, there was never a Hagbar. And then Achamin is going to be in this case where someone else prevented the Hagbah. If you're talking about Hagbah Mitzad the Gavra, he put into the energy and the effort of whatever it takes to do the Mais Hagbah. But if you're looking at so, as far as the Cheftz of the Hagbah, there was no Hagbah for whatever reason. And the other Achamin that he has in the other direction is a case where he was Magbiah the Talis, and he lifted up only part of the Talis. The Talis was, let's say, wrapped around the pole. And what happened was the wind came along and lifted the talus. So he goes the other way now. He says, if you hold that Agbah is a din in the Maisa Gavra, then he didn't lift up the talus. It was the wind that lifted up the talus. But if it's a din in the Cheftza, then it's enough that the talus is Mugbeis Mikolcho, even though again he needed also the Koach of the Ruach. Anyway, again, I'm summarizing 5 pages in Rav Shimon Shkaf, but it's just a very interesting sugya. Okay. Now I have for you my favorite topic, and I hope Daniel's favorite topic, Mukta. And there's a sugya in Masechta Shabbos Mem Gimel Amid Beis called Tiltul Min Hatzad. So in other words, I pick up one object and the Mukta moves as a result. And Rav Soloveitchik in his Hare Kedem is quoted as saying that there are two ways we can understand Mukta, and then Afkamina is going to be Tiltul Min Hatzad. And he says the following. He says that Tiltul Min Hatzad, he wants to say that Mitzad HaGavra Ein Kan Maisa Tiltul. Because for the Gavra to be Metaltul, he has to have a direct Maisa Tiltul on the object. To Ikra Maisu Maisa Gavra, he gives examples of Mita. Aval Mitzad Achefta, Sof Choshiv Shapir Tiltul Mialia. Now, it's whether you did a direct act of being Metaltul Lechefta or an indirect act, it's the same identical tiltul from the perspective of the Chefta. Sharei Tachlis HaMaisa, Hu Letaltel Es Achefetz. So he suggests that there are two ways of defining the Iker Tiltul in Muktzah. If the Iker Tiltul Muktzah is the Cheftza, then there should be no difference whether it was Tiltul Min Hatzad or direct Tiltul. But if on the other hand the Iker Tiltul is the Maisa Gavra, this is not a Maisa Gavra, because his Maisa Gavra was on X and something else moved. So he gives the sugya of Paga Shetomna B'Tevet. You remember this case, the radish is inside the ground and the ground around it is Muktzah. So he picks up the He pulls out the radish, which is not mukta, it's an ochel, and the teven collapses. What word am I looking for? Caves in. That's the word I'm looking for. Caves in. So that's tiltul min hatzad, and the Mishnah records a machlokas about this.
A radish which had previously been picked, just been stored there.
Right.
There's no ktsira.
Right. Yeah, correct. There's no ktsira. Anyway. This is just the. Also, again, I just touched the surface of a very complicated sugi. But again, just to show you how the distinction between Maisa Gavra and Cheftza.
Mukta seems to be quite complicated. Constant. I mean, we're talking about the Ramon of Mukta, which is Mukta being a Shmoshes. Which is a machshava thing. The problem is, objects are mixed. Could be muksa for one person, not muksa for another person. For example,
right.
That sounds gavra to me.
Right. Because he was making it and he wasn't, or something like that. Yesterday, if you remember, we had a discussion about Tefillas Kelim in the case where a Jew buys a keli from a guy and then he lends it to a third Jew, to a second Jew. And Tosus Mechadish says Chayev in Tefillah because it came Lidei Chiyuv in the hands of the first Jew. Now, since we mentioned Bab Metzia, there's another interesting sugya in Bab Metzia. This is not on Daf Tesam and Aleph, but on Daf Tesam and Beis, about Migu Diboy Mafkir Nechase. And the question is, in Matnas Aniyim, if let's say you have an Ashir, and he wants to pick up the pay on behalf of one of the Aniyim. So the Gemara wants to apply the principle of migudi boy mafkir nechas v'havi ani. In other words, he has a yad to be zoch in the peah in the theoretical sense because he could become an ani. He could make himself into an ani. So Rashi's shita is that, and this is the way Shita Mekubetzos explains Rashi, lo amrinan migudi boy mafkir nechase legabi balas sode. In other words, an usher off the street, you could say it could be mafkir's nechasim and apply migu. But if it's the owner of the field himself, we don't apply migu. Says the Shita Mekubetzos, because the Bala HaSodeh, mafkir esodeu li achar ktsira. Rashi doesn't mean that he was mafkir his sodeh. Rashi means that after he did the ktsira, and therefore this payah was left as payah, then we say that he's out of the picture of migu, and no longer can he be zocha in it. Mishum shekriyas shem payah mafkia esha hefker legavi dinze. In other words, the way that the Shita Mekubetzos says is that if the iser of lo salakeit is chal on the gavra, that's before the shem payah, then you could say migu di boy mafkir nechase. Rashi doesn't disagree with that. Where does Rashi say that migu is inoperative for the Bala Soda? That's only after he was korei shen peah. So it seems to me, again my limited understanding, that Rashi, the way the Shita Mekubetzos interprets it, holds that lo salakeit is a din in the cheftza, that the cheftza has a shen peah to it, and that changes its very status. And with regard to the shem peah, the Torah institutes or slaps down on the bala, on the bala peah, bala sodeh, an iser of lo salakit. So Rashi holds that once there's a chal shem peah, it becomes isurim, and all the migu di boy mafkir nechase could not change that iser and be mafkir the iser. When does hefker work, or the possibility of hefker work? That's when he has a chomas gavra. He started the ktsir of the field, but he hasn't yet designated payah. So at that point, there's only a chomas payah, but no cheftishol payah. If there's a chomas gavra of payah without a cheftishol payah, then he can make himself an ani by being mafkir is nechas. Rashi doesn't disagree with that. Rashi's problem is that if he was already not only kotzer, but he did the gemar ktsira, the whole field was harvested, in which he left one corner for peah, once the chal of shem peah is chal of the cheftz itself, then the iser of lo salakeh is chal, and it's irreversible. So I thought that would be another possible example of chovas gavra and chovas cheftz.
He couldn't be mafkir's field even before that,
if he's mafkir's field before he starts the ktsira, then for sure there's no iser lo salakeh. Rashi's chiddush is that the iser lo salakeh is chal once there's a chal shem peah, and once the iser is chal, the cheft becomes like a cheft of isura. All the hefker that in the world is not going to help you. But after you were mischayev in peah, but yet you weren't korei shem peah, for example, you started the ktsira, but that generates a chilvas gavra of peah, then you could be mafkir yunachosim, because the iser lo salakeh is not chal, excuse me, in the guf haperos, in the cheftza of the peros. Okay, now I want to share with you an insight of Reb Chaim Scheinberg, again in Mishmeres HaChaim. He's very sensitive, over and over again, to this distinction between chovas gavra and chovas cheftza. He starts with the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Tzitzis, Simon Yud. This is on page Yud Zayin. And the question is, a beged, that's what's called Chetzio Pasuach v'Chetzio Sosum, are you chayav in Tzitzis on such a beged or not? In other words, the beged is partially functional, but partially non-functional. So it has a questionable status, and we put tzitzis on it mitzad sofek, and the Mechaber paskins that on Shabbos ein yotzim ba. Why? Because on the tzad that it's not chayev and it's not a beged shel tzitzis, then it's a masui, and assuming there's no erev, right, he violates melechas hotzah. So now he has a sofek and he has to go l'chum. Frek the Mishmeres Chaim, I don't get it. The law is that in a chiyuv tzitzis derabanan, the Rif and the Rambam paskin that Yotzin Ba B'Shabbos. V'amai gora beged shechetzio pasuah v'chetzio sasum davi sofek doraisa. Which, by the way, the Rambam holds sofek doraisa l'chumer is the Rabbanan. But why is that worse than a case of a beged that's chayiv and sits is the Rabbanan? Like, let's say, for example, midoraisa, you're chayiv and sits only on a beged shel tzemer. But midrabbanan yechayiv and sits even for, let's say, cotton. I don't know how many people here in this room wear cotton tzitzis. Oh, good. So we have a universal, unanimous decision. There are people, you should know, who don't want to wear a cotton tzitzis. Why? Because it's only derabbanan. They want to be yotzei the mitzvah d'oraisa. Tumul of bracha, I think it's a very nice cheshbon. And during the winter, by the way, I would definitely recommend wearing, you know, in the summertime, it's a shiloh beged zeir. I don't even know if you're chayiv in tzitzis. You sweat so much, especially here in this country. So I wouldn't wear your tzemer. You're going to sweat and you're going to throw off your tzitzis in a minute. But at least during the winter chach, when tzemer doesn't bother you, like I'm wearing tzemer now, at least chach, why not be mekayem mitzvah? Right. Anyway, getting back. So we have, let's say, a beggar that's made of cotton. And the Rabbanan said that you're chayiv in tzitzis. Are you allowed to wear it on Shabbos? You're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. It's not a must. But if you have a safek in chetzio sosum chetzio posuach, which is a safek ledina, and we don't know if you're chayiv in tzitzis, and that's already a doraisa halacha, ein yotzim of the Shabbos. Frechter of Scheinberg, I don't get it. The logic is it's counterintuitive. If in a case of a safek doraisa that we have to go lechumra, you're telling me that I have a problem masri, and in a drabonon, which midoraisa is not even, it's not even chayim in tzitzis, and the drabonon created a new chiv tzitzis, and yet I'm allowed to wear it? Why is that so? So you can already guess the answer. Hanira lomer bezed achilu gadol ikum. Tilagabi beged the shar minim. Alright, so that's the drabonon, shar minim, meaning it's not the pishton, it's not tzemer. Is Rabbanan chivu b'tzitzis ve'hofchu? He says v'shivu la beged shal tzitzis. Once it's a beged shal tzitzis, even though that's only been Rabbanan, but that's enough to make it into a tashit or lavush, and it's no longer a masli in yotzimbo. Masha enki gabi chetzio pasuah v'chetzio sasum lo shavinu Rabbanan lebeged tzitzis. Bevadai, who suffix tzitzis, el rabbanon chivu es hagavra bechiv tzitzis mitam suffix. Avla beged atzmo nishar suffix. Here's a long arichus here, but the punchline is that a beged of tzitzis the rabbanon is still a beged of tzitzis, and it's mafkir the iser of masui. But in the case of chetzio sosum chetzio pasuach, the rabbanon never said that that's a beged the rabbanon. The Rabban only said that if you're in a situation where you don't know if you're obligated, is something d'oraisa l'chumra, that's b'toras chiyuv gavra. But as far as the chefta shel beged is concerned, we really don't know if it's a chefta shel beged, meaning a beged shel tzitzis. Is b'meila something d'oraisa l'chumra. So on one level, as far as the mitzvah tzitzis, the whole week long, you're going to have to wear it because of the suffik and the chiyuv gavra of suffik. But as far as the beged is concerned, the beged always remains a suffik. Masha'enke, in the case where the Rabbanan took a min, and they said, excuse me, that you're chayim in tzitzis on that min, is min Rabbanan, it becomes a beged shel tzitzis. It's a fascinating chiddush here, because, you know, it's very rare that you find that the Rabbanan tops a doraisa. You know, here we're talking about a suffik doraisa, and yet you're not allowed to wear it as a beged shel tzitzis without the problem of masa. You can't circumvent the problem of masa. But in a Rabbanan, is you circumvent the problem of masa because the Rabbanan said yechayiv in tzitzis and it becomes a cheftza shel beged shel tzitzis.
Doesn't explain why he wore all 30 sets of tzitzis.
Ah, maybe it has something to do with this. I don't know. Okay. Now, if I can only find my notes, which of course should be here, I'll just tell it to you about Ped. Maybe while I'm speaking, I'll find my notes. We're talking about Birchas Hanenin, what we call a bracha lifanehu. And there's a whole perek in Shas which is dedicated to this topic, and that's called Perek what? Kesa Mevarech. So in that Perek, okay, in that Perek, oh, Bachshem, okay. So there's a sugya on Daf Chaf Hei, and there's a sugya later on Daf Lamed Vav. Cross that out. Sorry, Chaf Hei means in the Rif. It's Chaf Hei in the Rif, which is in Perek Kesa Mevarech. Okay, here's the case. What bracha do you make on Kemach? I don't know when the last time you ate Kemach was, but if you look at it, you'd eat Kemach. So the Rif Paskins that you make a shakel. You can't make a Bar Pri Adam. And why? He says, because Ein Darko Li'ochlo. So whenever you get an Ein Darko Li'ochlo, the bracha loses its status as what we call a bracha misuyemis, and it becomes a bracha klolos, which is called Shahakol Ni'a Bidvar. However, the Rif himself, 2 pages later, on Chav Zayin in the Rif, paskins that with regard to certain vegetables called Tumei Ukarsi, Necholim Chayim, you can eat them raw, V'lom Mevusholim, V'im Sholkon, Nevarech Aleim Borei Pri Adam. The Afal Gav, the Ochel Osam Shalom Kedarkam. So again, we're talking about vegetables now that are normally eaten raw, and he decides for whatever reason he's going to cook them. So the Rif Paskins, he makes a Bar Pri Adam. Afal Gav the Ochlam Shalom Kedakim. So why in the case of Kemach, or we Mafkia, the Rif himself, Paskins, that we don't make the Bracha on Bar Pri Adam, huh? We make the Bracha of Shahakol, because it's Shalom Kedarkam, and then 2 pages later the Rif says that if you cook the vegetable and eat it Shalom Kedarkam, eat it cooked rather raw, when it's Darkam Lechol Kmoshu Chai, you still make a Bar Pri Adam. What happened to the Shalom Kedarkam and Kemach, and why is it different than Shalom Kedarkam of Shlokos? So I have a Shtikl Torah here of my own. Take it or leave it. You know, you're the judge. You're the jury. I want to suggest the following: that the Rif understands that a bracha, Birkas HaNedim, is chal on the chefta. It's not just the Chovas Gav to thank Hashem for the food, but the chefta itself becomes a chefta of bracha. That's why, for example, there are certain dinim about which chefta you should choose and try to enhance the chefta, because the chefta is not just an object that you use for the bracha to be mekayim the chovas gavra, but that the bracha is chal of the chefta. So I want to suggest the following. Every chefta is omed lebracha, if it's roi l'achila, right? And not only is it roi lebracha, but it's roy for that bracha that is appropriate for that particular foodstuff. So for example, I have in front of me, I have something called a karsi, which is normally eaten raw. What's it called in English? Leek, I think it's called? I don't know. Anyway, I in the Machzorim L'Rosh Hashanah, I know it's called, you know. She karsi sonet, right. And at that moment in time, when I have the karsi on my table, it's the chefta's nitfas in a bracha, not only just in a bracha, but in a specific bracha. And that bracha is Bar Pri Adam. Now I go ahead and I cook it. So the question is cooking going to be mafkia, that bracha? And the Rif's answer is no. The Rif holds that once the bracha is chal on the chefta, cooking it is only a problem for the gavra. It's ein derech li ochlo mevushal, but the chefta is still nitfas bishmo and b'birchaso, and as a birchas bar pri adam. Masheke in the case of kemach, that's something totally different, because there it's panim chadashas bolakan. The Gemara says if a gan of a gazlan steals grain and he converts it into flour, is kanala. He's kona v'shinu achifetz. It's not the same object. So in the case of shlokos, the shame karsi is still olaf, adayin chal olaf, even though you cooked it. Now, of course, that's not only the derech that you would eat it. The riff holds that since the cheft itself is nitfas the birchas bor pri adom, and you haven't changed the identity of the chefta, it remains bor pri adom. And I, for you, it's lo kedarko. That's already a din in the gav. But in the case of what of kemach, there panim chadosh is bo lekach. Once you remove the shame chita as a chita, because the Gemara says kosis achitas chay bor pri adom, then you remove the bracha not because of the shalom kedarko of the chef of the gavra, but because the original chefta with its bracha is completely gone. Before you slug me up, just tell me if you like it.
No, I wasn't slugging up. It's just a question.
I mean, I got very excited about it.
What's the one pratin there? I don't know. I'm not sure about it. Is that only true, though, about when it orders makabel the shame, and it's not nishana? Is that only when it would go to a more general bracha? Or if it was the other way around, it was going from...
If you jacked it up?
Yeah.
Again, jacking it up is a whole different story. You know, then it becomes a goffin, you know, priya goffin, it becomes... Yeah, it gets so broken.
So it wouldn't apply then.
Right, right.
I mean, that was
okay, two more sugis. And the last one that I want is, I think, really the paradigm. But let me give you a smaller one first. Okay. I want to know the following. We have a principle called mitzvah boba aver, in the case of gozel. We discussed it in great length. If a man steals matzah and he uses it for his mitzvah, lo yotze yedei chovos. Here's the question I want to ask you. If a man steals a pas and he eats it for the first night of Sukkot, was he yotze? Let me reformulate my question. Does the principle of mitzvah baba vera apply not only to matzah on the first night of Pesach, but also to Sukkot on the first night of
Sukkot?
So on one level you could say Gzeirah Shavah. But you see, the trouble with the Gzeirah Shavah is that it doesn't always work. Meaning, the Gzeirah Shavah works when there's a logic that confirms the Gzeirah Shavah, and then the mechanics works. Here, Lefi Ani Hasdaiti, the logic of the Gzeirah Shavah doesn't apply. Why?
Because the mitzvah is directly in matzah.
What do you call the matzah now? Can you use my terminology if you don't mind?
It's a chefza.
It's a chefza. Right. And if the chefza is gozel, then it's posel and it's posel.
Right.
Masha'en came in the case of sukkahs.
Right.
Go ahead.
In sukkah, that you're eating the pas is only you're eating it in order to be kovaya suda on it, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah.
Okay, one extra word, Alan. The mitzvah of what sukkah?
That's not a gavra.
No, obviously the gavra, but the mitzvah of what sukkah? I'm giving you a blank here.
Yeshiva.
Excellent. Yeshiva b'sukkah. And yeshiva b'sukkah is a chovas gavra.
Yeah.
So again, I'm suggesting the following. That with regard to matzah, the matzah is the cheftza shel mitzvah. If you take that same matzah with Gzeirah Shavah 2:2:2 and you eat it for your kezayis pas in sukkah on the first night of sukkahs, it's not that the kezayis pas becomes a cheftza shel mitzvah. The mitzvah remains yeshiva b'sukkah. The way I set up and organize my yeshiva b'sukkah is by eating this pas. And therefore the psul of mitzvah of Mary doesn't apply.
In fact, I
had a lot of
hanof. I actually do eat matzah on the first night of sukkah.
Oh, okay. You got me scared. I thought you could say stolen matzah. I was getting,
no.
I was getting nervous there, Alan. Yeah.
Okay. What's the stolen matzah on Pesach?
Say it again.
Stolen matzah on Pesach.
Stolen matzah on Pesach.
Yeah, you'll say.
Even if it's in the chetza.
No, I'm saying since you stole the matzah, the shame gozel and the shame aver is chal the chefta, so that chefta can't be used for the mitzvah matzah. Did I miss a joke here? I mean, maybe.
No, I
thought there was a punchline.
No, there isn't.
I thought you were pulling a shtick on me here. I missed the punchline.
Yes, the cloud.
No, it is an absolute question because at the price of matzahs right now, it's going to be a gana.
Very good. Excellent. But Rabosa, I want to end the shiur with what I consider Lefiani Estaiti, the most important example of Gavra Heftza in mitzvahs, in obligations, and that's the Rav Chaim on Tashbis. And I have to tell you this, Rav Amiel, in his book, Midot L'Chekal Ha, has a whole analysis of Rav Chaim, and I honestly think he's way off the mark. He did not understand Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim, in Hilchas Chametzu Matzah, just give me a second to open it up, has the following question. The halacha is that whenever you have a mitzvah of Sreifa, in Isuri Anah, there's a mission in Tmura, then the Efer is Mutter. And that's called Nasis Mitzvos. Now, in the case of Chametz, we have Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, how to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbis. According to Chachom Ashbisos of Echoldov, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Bir Chametz El Bisreif. So L'chora, the status of the Efer, in a case where I burnt my Chametz, should be dependent upon the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa, therefore Nasis Mitzvosim. And that's what the Torah says. The Torah says that since we pass in like the Chachamim, that Ashbisos of Echoldov, Efer, Chametz, and Nisraf is Osir Banah. Frech, Rabbi Kiveg, I don't get it. Even if I hold like the Chachamim, that Hashbasos of a Chol Dovar, there still is a mitzvah of Sreifa. Lo Tehe Sreifa Gruha, Mi Zoreo Mefarav Ruach, Mi Zoreo Kliyam. You can't deny that when he burns the Chametz, he's Mekayim a mitzvah of Sreifa's Chametz. Albeit in one form and one mode of many different alternative methods. So why is the Efer, the Torah writes that the Efer Chametz on Nisraf is also about Nam? What happened to the principle of Nasis Mitzvos? Says Reb Chaim, there's no Nasis Mitzvos here according to Chachamim. Because according to Chachamim, the mitzvah Tashbisu is in the Gavra and not in the Chefetz. And I hold that this is mamish, the paradigmic lumdus for everything we've been discussing the last 2 weeks. Reb Chaim says the following. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa, that means that Chametz, as Isuri Adnah, is Mechayev Sreifa. And when you burn the Chametz, that's a kiyum in the Chametz itself. Then we apply the principle of Nasis Mitzvos of the Efer, Chametz and Nisraf Mutter. But if I hold like the Chachamim, Hashbasos of Chol Davar, it means that you have to separate yourself from Chametz. If you could fly to the moon, and that would be enough, is then you yotze the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Hashbasos of Chol Davar means it's a Chovas Gavra to make sure that you are Chametz free. But there's no din in the Cheftza, they have to destroy the Cheftza through Sreifa. And therefore there's no Nasis Mitzvos in the Cheftza. And based on this Chiddush, Reb Chaim explains a Mishnah in Tmura. The Mishnah is machalik between Nikbarim and Nisraf, in the two categories of Isuri Anah. Like for example, in the case of Nosar, which is also by Anah, the Torah says by Eish, Tisrofu. There are other Isuri Anah where you just bury them. And the Mishnah establishes that if you burn Isuri Anah, will the Efer be Mutter by Anah depends upon whether it comes under the category of Nikbarim or Nisrafim. So Reb Chaim asks the obvious question, okay, it's Nikbarim, but so what? He burnt it, and he was Mekayim the Mitzvah. Why is it less than Kvura in dispensing with the object? Zot Reb Chaim, because in the case of the Srafim, the Cheft itself is Mechayim Sreifa, the Nosa requires Sreifa, that's a Kiyum and Chefta. Then you apply the principle of Nasis Mitzvoso. But in the case of Nikbarim, it just means that dispose of the Chefetz, meaning make sure that you don't violate the Isur Anah, and whatever method you use is fine. You know, you want to lock it up in a jail so you don't have access to it, that's also okay, but there's no Kiyum in the Chefta. The Kiyum is in the Gavra, to be marchik himself from the Cheftza. and therefore the Eifer is also. Yeah?
Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there has to be a service. It's still Mitzvah Gavra.
It's a Mitzvah Gavra that's generated by the Heft.
It's not meaning, sure, it's a hybrid.
You think it's a hybrid? I don't know. Anyway, take a look at Reb Chaim, if you can. This is the very world famous Reb Chaim. To pass it on, it's the first Reb Chaim in Hilchos Chametz and Matzah. I believe that Chiddush of Reb Chaim is mamish paradigmic of everything that we discussed. Now, I just want to give you coming attractions here. There's a brisker rav in the Sefer, which at this point I can't teach you because I don't understand what he's saying. But I'll tell you where it is. It's in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, and it's Perek Beis Halacha Ches. And this has to do with the mitzvah of Pitum HaKtores, which also has a flip side, which is the Chiv Kores, if you're mafateim the Ktores for your own purposes. Okay? And the shear of Pitum for which you're chayef for is called a mana, mem nun he. So the Brisker Rav wants to analyze this whole sugya from the perspective of Gavra and Cheftza. And what is the nature of this shear of mana? He wants to say that it's a shear in the Gavra, in the Maisa Pitum, but Be'etzem HaChefza Shal HaKtores Lo Nemru Shum Shiurim Klal B'Toras Karban Shalah V'Hugak Midinei Shiurim Shal Kiyum HaGavra. Anyway, it's very abstract
then
and very complicated.
Then what do you argue? Then you're even in the Masha then?
Yeah, you should be high from the Chefza perspective, even on a mashu. So, B'li Neder, you know, if we get a chance, we'll come back to this. But this Brisker Rav reminds me very much of something that we discussed about Chatzi Shir on Shabbos. Because I'm wondering, what's the Shir on Shabbos? Is it din in the Chefza or is it din in the Gavra? Meaning, if you say that the Torah only is machshiv ha-malacha if you did it so and so many times, meaning so much of a volume, you know, then chatzi shir is not a ma'isa malacha, because the shir itself defines a ma'isa malacha from the minimum perspective of chashivas ha-malacha. But if the ma'isa agavra is complete even in part of the cheftza, and the din of shir is a halacha in the cheftza, then I could say that chatzi shir asim in the Torah could apply even on Shabbos. So let's say, for example, I was motzi, I don't want to say about myself, but let's say Ruvei was motzi a chatzi gogeris, and he places it down in Rishus Ayok. Takes it Rishus Rabbo or the other way around. So if he did a chatzi shir, a chatzi gogeris, should we apply the principle of chatzi shir osim in a Torah? It might depend upon this chakira. If the shir is in the Maisa Gavra, well, he didn't do anything, because his otzah doesn't register as a mice otzah. But if the mice otzah is on every single gargir, you know, every single pot and parcel, but just as it did in the chefta, that it's not considered a malach chashuv until the chefta is a gogeres is worth. So then, chatzi gogeres is like chatzi shirosu ben Torah. And this boggles my mind, because I was thinking to myself, what would be if two people together would be motzi gogeres? So we have a principle of Shabbos of Shnayim Shasu Pturim.
Yeah.
So I was wondering the following, that if you... All right, I don't know, let me think it out. I don't want to say, because it could go in two different directions.
Well, what about Chatzis Shir in a Dover on Shabbos? There's also a Mashu. There's no such thing as a Chatzis Shir.
What, like in Binyan?
Like, yeah,
what are you
talking
about?
Like in Binyan.
Oh, that bonus Chayiv in a Mashu. Yeah, so then the Chatzis Shir is irrelevant. But I'm just suggesting that maybe the Vela, why is Rabbi Yochanan insist the Chatzis Shir also in the Torah? Because the Vela is a Chefta Nisura, the Shir of Kezias is in the Chefta. But let's say you would say that a person took a Shvua that I won't eat a Kezias, and he eats a half a Kezias. I would say in such a case, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that he doesn't violate Chatzis Shir, because there the Shir is in the Maisa Gavra. He took upon himself, he enjoyed himself from a Pula Sachila of a Kezias. Well, less than a kezias from his shvua is not a maisa achila.
Right.
And that's already a qualitative distinction. When you get to the Chefza, if it's a tie in the Chefza, then it's only a quantitative distinction. And here Rabbi Yochanan can say Chatzi Shir is also a quantity that the Torah reckons with. All right, we'll stop here. Okay.